talking about climate change and nature, so stay tuned.
Oh, people, people, don't you love this earth? To share with everything that grows. Don't you want to taste freedom, peace in this life? I believe we can make it whole again. I believe we can make it whole.
They paved paradise, put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paved paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on prolonging
see a windmill go, feel the pull of an ocean wave, the heat from a volcano. There's so much we could do, there's so much we could know, if we listen to the earth.
Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
And I'm Donna Stein.
And Tim Keating.
And this is Ecologic for August 27, 2019, here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. When your air or water is clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
The WBAI fund drive is over. That's a good thing. But you can help WBAI and Ecologic by giving to www.give2wbai.org. Just type in Ecologic into the search box at www.give2wbai.org. Coming up on today's news and announcements, solutions to climate chaos, Greenland melting, Brazil on fire, 52 illegal nuclear power plants, and the EPA approves poison.
I wish I know who first said this. If Trump supporters don't like that U.S. citizens have the right to criticize their president, they are free to move to a country where that kind of thing is illegal. I get a lot of emails from environmental groups, large and small, pointing out various environmental problems. It'd be a lot better if they had solutions apart from writing to politicians complaining about the problems. Sometimes there is a bill to support. Sometimes there is a long-term solution, such as building more wind turbines. Sometimes they even send out articles written by lawyers for the nuclear industry, as if nuclear power is any kind of solution instead of adding to the problem. But rarely do they mention solutions that can be put in place right now, which is using less energy by using energy more efficiently. Some things we can do ourselves, such as LED light bulbs, Energy Star appliances, better insulation, and rooftop solar panels. Some require an organized effort, such as demanding that all building codes take energy use into account, that violations of environmental laws get enforced and fines paid, that government subsidies, tax breaks, and bailouts get taken from polluting industries such as mining, fossil fuel, and nuclear, and given to homeowners and the construction industries to use on making homes use less energy.
Listen up. One very good tip, because it's so cheap and easy and saves so much money, is power strips. You first told me about this, Ken. If most appliances use energy even when they're off. You may have heard of phantom load or vampire electricity. If those appliances are put on a power strip, you can stop the vampire with one flick of a switch. When you're not home or asleep, just flick that switch. You'll save a lot of money, and there will be less burning of methane.
We've been hearing the word existential a lot lately regarding climate change. Dictionary says it means derived from experience or the experience of existence. In other words, stuff we know is true because we've experienced it. We've seen it happen.
We've been talking about what would happen if Greenland's ice melted just about ever since Ecologic started in 2002 with Ken Gale. So now the world is finally catching up to WBAI. Mainstream media is finally starting to mention it, barely, raising sea level 20 to 25 feet, flooding most of the major cities of the world, totally submerging many Pacific Island nations who are already fleeing their homes, as regular listeners know. Most front and center is today, just today, in the news, is the country of
Indonesia.
Indonesia, yes, thank you. They're moving their capital from Jakarta to the island of Borneo. And to compile that problem, they're going to be destroying some of the rainforest in that country in order to alleviate the problems of climate change.
Yeah.
They're going to be making it worse.
And there's an article by Brazilian journalist Manuela Liberti in EcoWatch.com about leaked documents proving that the Brazilian president is setting fires to the Amazon rainforest not only for plantations, but also to destroy indigenous people. Sounds a lot like what the U.S. government did to the indigenous people of the Great Plains in the 19th century by killing bison. You might remember past reports on Ecologic that part of the rainforest has already become a desert, a former rainforest where it no longer rains. I suppose there are some that would consider a drastic change like that a victory over nature. It could also be considered a victory of nature over us.
Listener Bill Smirno pointed us to an article on BusinessInsider.com about 52 active nuclear power plants in Europe operating without a valid license. We know this thanks to research by Germany's Green Party. All operating illegal atomic reactors were never subject to an environmental impact assessment. Some of the European Union countries running these illegal power plants include the Netherlands, Bulgaria, Ukraine, Belgium, Finland, the United Kingdom, Sweden, and Switzerland. Indian Point is operating illegally as well, just a little north of New York City. Oy.
From the Center for Biological Diversity comes this. The Environmental Protection Agency considers the pesticide sulfoxaflor very highly toxic to bees. But you know what's coming next. They just approved an enormous expansion of the use of it. The center is asking people to contact the EPA and Congress and tell them no amount of such a toxic poison should be allowed on our food. They have a petition on their website, which we link to from the EcoLinks page.
There's a panel discussion on how we can reduce plastics use. It's Thursday, September 12th at 6 p.m. at the Community Church, Lower Level Assembly Hall. That's 40 East 35th Street. Again, that's Thursday, September 12th, 6 p.m. at 40 East 35th Street. Hudson River Sloop Clearwater wants you to know that public sales are available. You just go to clearwater.org to find out. And please note that there's still room on New York City Friends of Clearwater's membership sale September 21st. So join us and sail. On the next Ecologic, Tuesday, September 10th, Ling Sao and Sally Gellert will be here to help you learn how to get environmental legislation passed. As usual, come to Ecologic to hear how to take action and make a difference. Environment TV airs on Manhattan Neighborhood Network two Sundays after Ecologic airs and is usually a video version of Ecologic. Different cable providers have different channels, but they all air Environment TV at 11 a.m. every other Sunday. Charlie Olson adds great graphics. Thanks, Charlie. If you miss any WBAI show, it'll be on WBAI.org archives 5 or 10 minutes after the show ends. To read the full articles we summarized on any episode of Ecologic from the past few years, we link to those articles on the Ecolinks page of the Ecologic website. That's eco-logic website, www.ecoradio.org.
Our Facebook page is WBAI Ecologic, no spaces or dashes, WBAI Ecologic. And please click like. For more environmental news, go to TheEnvironmentTV.com, BiologicalDiversity.org, or EcoWatch.com. www.ecoradio.org is the main Ecologic page, and that will get you to past guests, the Ecolinks page, and our own permanent archives. EcoRadio.org will get you there. And I'm going to start today's show with a clip from Harrison Ford. He was speaking at or for the Extinction Rebellion, and he had some wonderful things to say, and thank you, Susan Spieler, for pointing me to this, because I think it is absolutely wonderful.
You're here, I'm here, because we care. Not just for today, but we care passionately for the future. We know that we only have the possibility of avoiding a looming climate catastrophe if people like us refuse to give up. The future of humanity is at stake. While you work to meet the challenge of climate change, I beg of you, don't forget nature. The destruction of nature accounts for more global emissions than all the cars and trucks in the world. We can put solar panels on every house, we can turn every car into an electric vehicle, but as long as Sumatra burns, we will have failed. So long as the Amazon's great forests are slashed and burned, so long as the protected lands of tribal people, indigenous people, are allowed to be encroached upon, so long as wetlands and bog peats are destroyed, our climate goals will remain out of reach, and we will be shit out of time. If we don't stop the destruction of our natural world, nothing else will matter. Why? Because protecting and restoring forests, mangroves, wetlands, these huge, dense carbon sinks, represent at least 30% of what needs to be done to avoid catastrophic warming. It is, at this time, the only feasible solution for absorbing carbon on a global scale. Simply put, if we don't protect nature, we can't protect ourselves. This is what we need to do. We need to include nature in every corporate, state, and national climate goal. Put in place the plans, the timetables to meet those goals. Invest in mangroves and tropical forests in the same way invest in renewable energy. Work to end the destruction of these ecosystems. Commit to the effort in the next decade to secure them for the future. Pursue research in reforestation like we pursue research in carbon capture and storage. Set a goal to cut costs and increase scale dramatically. Empower indigenous communities to use their knowledge, their history, their imaginations, our science to save their heritage and their lands. Respect and ensure their rights. Stop, for God's sake, the denigration of science. Stop giving power to people who don't believe in science, or worse than that, pretend they don't believe in science for their own self-interest. They know who they are. We know who they are. We are all, rich or poor, powerful or powerless, we will all suffer the effects of climate change and ecosystem destruction, and we are facing what is quickly becoming the greatest moral crisis of our time, that those least responsible will bear the greatest costs. So never forget who you're fighting for. It's the fisherman in Colombia, the fisherman in Somalia who wonders where their next catch is coming from and wonders why the government can't protect them from factory fishing from across the world. It's the mother in the Philippines who's worried that the next big storm is going to rip her infant out of her arms. People in California who are fleeing from unprecedented fires. People on the East Coast who are facing the worst storms in recorded history. It's our own country, our own community, our own families. This is the core truth. If we are to survive on this planet, the only home any of us will ever know, for our climate, for our security, for our future, we need nature. Now, more than ever, nature doesn't need people. People need nature. Let's turn off our phones, let's roll up our sleeves, and let's kick this monster's ass.
And that was Harrison Ford speaking for the Extinction Rebellion.
Another reason to love Harrison Ford.
Now, Harrison Ford needs no introduction, but the next clip I'm going to play is somebody who shouldn't but does. Sonja Steingraber is one of my three favorite environmentalists, along with Pete Seeger and Rachel Carson. That's how highly I think of her. And if there are people who are going, well, what do celebrities know? Well, how about what a biologist know? Because that's who she is. He's a biologist. He teaches at Ithaca College upstate New York. Is absolutely brilliant, has made movies and had several books out. And she used the word existential a couple times, so I want to define it again. The dictionary definition is derived from experience or the experience of existence. In other words, it's stuff we know is true because we've experienced it. We've seen it happen. I know some people like to use the word existential as if it's something abstract. No, it's the opposite. It is not abstract at all. And that is the point that she's making. So let's hear from Sandra.
Now, you're a biologist. What are some of your concerns about, you know, climate change and the impact, say, on, you know, insects and fish?
Right. So what I study are the ecological consequences of climate change. And here is where you really begin to see why we call the climate crisis an existential crisis. So what's happening right now to the world's insect populations is that one-third of insects are heading for extinction because of the climate crisis. And they include, in those disappearing insects, they include some of our most important pollinators, which allow our agricultural system to run. One-third of all the food we eat is brought to us by the unpaid labor of insects who pollinate flowers, turning them into fruits and nuts, right? Meanwhile, out in the oceans, warming ocean water can hold less oxygen than cold water, and we're seeing dying fish stocks. Fish stocks are already down 4% because of climate change. We see some horrific photos out of the salmon streams in Alaska with dead salmon because the temperatures of the water are simply too high. Fish is a major source of protein for half of the world's population. And people don't just starve in place. When fish stocks disappear from the coastal areas, people begin to migrate. When agriculture doesn't work anymore in places like Honduras and Guatemala, people begin to migrate. They become what we call climate refugees. So the ecological changes that are the consequence of the climate crisis are driving social unrest and driving a refugee crisis. Finally, there is plankton. Plankton is, by definition, these little one-celled creatures that float on the surface of the ocean. They photosynthesize. They're not very big, but all together they take up a lot of surface area. And they provide us half of the oxygen we breathe. So one out of every two breaths that we take are brought to us by the ocean's plankton. Plankton stocks are in trouble, both because when carbon dioxide that's emitted into the air from fossil fuels enters the waters of the ocean, it turns into carbonic acid. So we're acidifying the oceans. We're also warming it up. We're interfering with ocean currents that bring nutrients to plankton stocks. So they're now having trouble. So what we're saying is that these ecological changes are creating a problem with our air supply, with our food supply, removing available water, fresh water resources from human consumption. So when we say climate change is an existential crisis, we literally mean it's threatening the existence of human civilization.
That was Sandra Steingraber. And you're listening to Ecologic here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Donna Stein.
I'm Tim Keating.
And the three of us are part of the Ecologic Collective. And so, Tim, let's start with you, what you thought of what Harrison Ford and Sandra Steingraber had to say there.
Well, you know, I've watched that video with Harrison Ford a few times, and every time I watch it, new things come up for me. But it is very moving, and it's interesting to watch consummate actor giving what is, you know, quite an incredible speech, which seems to be from memory or just from his heart. Doesn't look like he's reading anything. It's pretty amazing. Which to me also points up the fact that I think he's been talking about this stuff for a long time, which is, you know, heartwarming. And there are a number of actors that we see that are very much into environmental issues, DiCaprio and numerous others. And so one of the things that, you know, we've talked about this here at the show, of course, he talks about nature, right? And my definition of nature is a little different than I think he's putting out there, but he's right on the money in terms of what we have to focus on in terms of solving this problem. I would go to, you know, it would be great to have him speak for another half hour to take some of those things and get into some more practical hands-on ideas of how we take this on. But it's interesting because, you know, I've been toying with this thing, People of Earth, that I think I may have mentioned here once or twice, for a very long time. And for me, and this is going to sound like a cliche, but it turns out I have observed that there actually are two kinds of people in the world. nothing on the outside will define one of these types of people. It's actually how people think. And, you know, you look at hunter-gatherers, indigenous people that are still out there foraging for their livelihood. And there is a mindset that looks at the surrounding ecosystem in a very different way than we do with these, you know, we're all civilized people living in this construct that we call civilization. And so this idea of People of Earth is to say that, hey, what we really need to be doing and what we really need to be thinking is that every single thing we do, every idea that we have, every behavior, every interaction needs to be within this milieu of of total respect and in some ways like giving decision making over to Earth, you know, because Earth is the big expression of nature that we have readily available to us and that we are part of.
It's basically like what many people say is we have to give rights. We give rights to corporations. It's called the Citizens United. We need to give rights to the Earth.
Well, you know, I come down on a couple of sides on that point. I'm a fan of you know giving us as a society giving rights to all sorts of things, but at the same time, I think that it's very important that we understand that the concept of rights is a civilized human concept, and it comes from actually legal issues, and so right. You know when you go out, if you're a forager and you're out there in the woods, and I mean, there are no rights. Nothing has rights, right? You don't have any rights. The woods don't have any rights. That lion doesn't have any rights. The bear doesn't have any rights. The elephant, the bacteria, whatnot. There are no rights, right?
But we got to fight fire with fire. And if the lousy people of the world are setting fire to these things, we have to find a legal way to fight them.
I think that's true, as long as we understand the construct within which we are fighting for the very things that the construct has you know created. I'm a fan of this, but at the same time, I think it's really important that we understand there. You know, when people talk about natural rights, I really don't think there is such a thing.
Natural rights of nature. That the forest. I'd rather the Amazon be considered have the rights of a person to not be violated than a corporation have the rights not to be violated.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And I should thank again the Extinction Rebellion for bringing us the Harrison Ford clip. And Mark Dunley, who ran for comptroller for the Green Party, he used to do City Watch here on WBAI for a while, and he was doing that for a radio upstate. And so Mark Dunley said it was okay for me to bring that to you.
Thanks, Mark.
So, yeah, so one big happy family in some ways,
yeah.
Despite some of what I said in the news and announcement section.
But I think the big point he's making, and I think it's the most important aspect of the video, is he's talking about, you know, we're not going to stop climate change if all we're doing is fighting for electric cars and mm-hmm. solar panels on right. roofs and whatnot, because at the very same time we're literally wiping out the ecosystems of the planet. And here we are in the midst of the highest number, the record number of fires in the Amazon at any one time.
This is no exaggeration,
yeah.
folks.
Yeah. And by the way, you mentioned Brazil, but it's not just Brazil. Venezuela has the second largest number of fires. Bolivia is sending its army out to put out fires. So it's the entire Amazon at this point. It's not just Brazil. But this has happened before, but it's not. I think this is probably the largest scale that we've seen ever in terms of sheer number of fires.
Well, they're doing to the Amazon in South America what they did to the rainforest of Southeast Asia.
Just yep.
burning them down.
Yes, and logging them. I mean, this is the other thing I think is really important that people not forget, and I see it missed all the time. Of course, you know I'm a rainforest wood activist, but the reason that the agriculturalists have access to larger areas of forest is because the loggers put the roads in.
Yeah.
And so, you know, even the UN Food and Agriculture Organization has said that 70% of what they call deforestation, which is clearing of at least 90% of tree cover, is precipitated by the existence of logging roads. So, you know, if the logging roads weren't there, then the agriculturists can only burn what they can get to. And that's where the edges of the forest are, the development mm-hmm. frontier, the roads going in. So without the money that we're providing to the loggers through our purchases of all this wood coming out of the Amazon, coming out of Indonesia, coming out of Africa,
Name some of the kinds of woods that people might be buying without realizing.
Well, you know, I just emailed a reporter yesterday about an article about a pier that was just built in Florida. I wish I had known about it well before it was being built, but all IPE, you know, the entire pier, the deck and all
IPE
the railing.
IPE is spelled
IPE. And, you know, it's they're in the article, they're calling it Brazilian walnut, which is, you know, a marketing name. But in Brazil, they call it IPE. And this is an extremely popular wood here for decking. I mean, people are even manufacturing bathtubs out of it. You know, it's really horrific. But fencing now, flooring, you know, it's sold very often as Brazilian
walnut.
Most
importantly, it's not necessary. You can have there are renewable, sustainable, I should say,
right.
Woods that they could use.
Right.
Bamboo
right.
is a wonderful wood to use for building, and it grows fast.
Yeah, I mean, you know, typically you use IPE for outdoor exterior applications, so bamboo isn't necessarily the appropriate material. But you know, certainly for flooring, it's perfectly good. But
right.
You know, South Street Seaport just 2 years ago opened. Pier 17 entirely redecked with Brazilian cherry or jatoba, so you know it's like we're so complicit in this. We're literally funding
right.
the destruction of the Amazon. And you know this is the thing that comes up for me when Harrison Ford says, you know, we really need to protect nature, but I think people really. I think people would be shocked if they understood what that might actually look like. You know, the throughput of materials in our lives is what's driving deforestation. It's driving ecosystem destruction all around the world, and it's not
and the
just
extinction of the animals and plants that live
people
there.
People are in there wiping out these forests for stuff that you know for materials that we make stuff out
and
of.
And they have not even cataloged all the different flora, fauna, insects, animals that are in the rainforest. There are still medicinal plants that could save humanity that are in that forest that'll be lost forever.
Yeah, but more importantly, we do not have the moral right to kill all of those plants and animals. We don't have the moral right. Corporations don't have the moral right in order to make some more money. The stockholders don't have the moral right so that they can have more money. I mean, we are talking about morality. And yes, there are medicinal uses to plants. Somebody did a study of an area of Belize and how much money the pharmaceutical companies could make off of the medicinal plants in this one big tract of land, and how much money the logging companies can make off of the same tract mm-hmm. of land. And the medicinal value was three times
yeah.
the logging value. So, yes, economically, that's on our side, too. But that's why it's important that these leaked documents from the Brazilian president have come out, that it's not just about money. It's also about destroying the indigenous people
mm-hmm.
of Brazil.
Right.
And both... Dr. Steingraber and Harrison Ford both make that point,
mm-hmm.
that indigenous people, they have knowledge and they don't deserve to die. And that knowledge doesn't deserve to die with them. And my favorite line from Harrison Ford is, don't forget nature.
Right.
And he's speaking at Extinction Rebellion, which I thought was a wonderful name that they chose. And when Extinction Rebellion came to the U.S., it became the fossil fuel message. It didn't become
yeah.
all of nature, every ecosystem, but that message is still there. It's part of the Extinction Rebellion. It's
yeah.
in the name.
Yeah, I see U.S. environmental groups very often wanting to funnel all these very, very often very broad ideas, you know, very, very ideas that are coming from a place of pure love of Mother Earth. They want to funnel them down into campaigns that they already are doing because they're already getting funded on those campaigns. And it's kind of like, it's tough to watch. But, you know, I ran
yeah.
Rainforest League for 27 years, and we experienced so much of the bigger groups, and we've had this discussion here, right? But now it's like Extinction Rebellion, but somehow here in the U.S., the groups can't really accept focusing on the extinction problem broadly, you know, it's because it's like, well, what do we do about that? It's not just about stopping the fracking.
And to give an excuse for them, and you're listening to Ecologic on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. We're here every other Tuesday from Teocus and Ghost Horse. It ends at 8 o'clock until Out FM starts at 9. I am Ken Gale.
Donna Stein here.
Tim Keating.
And when we're in school as kids, we are taught to specialize right from day one. You know, you have your reading class and your math class and your history class, and you don't talk about any of the other classes. You don't even talk about science and math class, which would be a natural. You don't talk about history and social studies in the same class. We specialize. And so I can't totally fault environmental activists for specializing. The only time I fault them is when they say that, well, what you're specializing in is not what I specialize in, so you're wrong and I'm right. Mm-hmm. You volunteer, we're all volunteers, except for the few staff jobs. We volunteer with where our passion lies. And if your passion lies with birds and you want to protect them, well, if somebody else whose passion lies with trees and they want to protect them, well, you're both doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. You're coming at it from different specialties, but it's all one thing. When you're talking about fossil fuel or you're talking about nuclear power, the solution is the same thing, right? Use less energy and make it out of something that's renewable. There are so many ways that the specialists overlap, and one of the things that we do a lot in Ecologic is connect the dots. And you can see why I call Sonja Steingraber a goddess, because in 2.5 minutes, she connected so many dots. It was just wonderful. Mm-hmm. We want to take your phone calls. You've heard Harrison Ford and Sonja Steingraber, and you've heard Ecologic, and hopefully you've heard many episodes of Ecologic. So give us a call and add your thoughts to the conversation. 212-209-2877.
You can call in. Here's the number once again. 212-209-2877.
And add your thoughts on nature and climate change and anything that you feel overlaps or is missing. And it's very important to connect the dots. I'm not telling people to not specialize. I'm just telling people to respect other people's specialties. And that's an important aspect of things. So 212-209-2877, and you're on the air.
Hey, good evening, folks.
Hi.
What a great show.
Thank you.
Hey, once again, the imperialist, capitalist, United Snakes of America is doing in the rainforest just what they did to the East Coast and the Pacific Coast. Between the redwoods and the western red cedars and all the wood on the West Coast and the East Coast, they're having a tough time now. So they're in the rainforest now, because I remember about 20 years ago when all those trucks were shipped to the down to South America. And as far as forest fires, I work with the Forest Fire Service part-time, right? So we can't speak a whole lot because half of California burned down last year thanks to Pacific Gas and Electric. Once again, you know, they would have rather let the system fail than to do preventative maintenance. So I just wanted to leave it at that, but... And once again, Bolsonaro is following the U.S. policy just like Hitler did. Wipe out all the indigenous people and let the cattle ranchers come in from McDonald's and Wendy's. But just remember one thing about the water in Newark. Don't be drinking Budweiser beer, because they got a new variety. It's called Budweiser Lead. 10% alcohol, 50% lead. Because that's where their biggest supplier of water is, New Jersey.
Right. Okay.
Whoa.
You can pass
thanks
right
lot,
by
folks.
The
right.
Plant.
Thanks for your call.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I wanted to mention, you know, I've been loosely working on kind of a history of the tropical timber trade, but you have to really go back and look at the timber trade in general, and our habit, our society has had a habit of focusing all energies on particular woods when they become in demand. And you know, so you can, I mean, I worked on boardwalks, as you know, for a long time, everywhere from Atlantic City to, you know, California. And I looked at the history of the Atlantic City boardwalk, and the very first wood that was made from was Atlantic white cedar, which was logged locally. And sure enough, like from, I think, the late 1800s to about 1950, they basically logged out the Atlantic white cedar from the local area because it was durable in the outdoors. And you just look at like this history of going after one wood after another. It's like fish now today. We have to, now we're down to like herring, right? Because all the big ones are gone. But you know, the Western red cedars, 2,000-year-old trees going to shingles, you know, and stuff like that. And now, of course, we had to go to the rest of the world and the Amazon and these to get these durable woods and whatnot. The problem, though, is that in the Amazon, these woods only grow one or two individual trees per acre. And so to get at the ipé, they got to wipe out half an acre to get that one ipé tree that's going to provide them $1,000 at the port of export, you know. So it's really, really tragic. The amount of destruction per board foot, if you will, is enormous, many, many, many times more than, say, redwoods or something like that. But
212-209-2877, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Am I there?
You are.
Hi, this is Rose in Flemington. I'm so glad you're addressing these problems tonight, especially on the demise of Mr. Koch.
Yeah,
you know, I called Amy Klobuchar's office today and said, I wonder how much of that crud that he's been, you know, burning off, the natural gas, when he was sucking oil out of North Dakota, ended up in the indigenous rice areas of Minnesota and the blueberries, as well as the water that they drink and bathe in. You are doing a true service. It's just pitiful that this country is got its head up its butt, for lack of a better word. So they used ipé also down in the Point Pleasant. And then somebody did something wrong and it burned.
Yep.
Whoa.
And why wasn't Trex being used?
Well, I have to say, I'm not, for municipal boardwalks, I'm not a huge fan of Trex. It's a wood plastic composite lumber. It's not really structural, but a true recycled plastic lumber, structural recycled plastic lumber, is what we started recommending to boardwalk towns in New Jersey starting in literally 1989. And, you know, it took, well, I'll say we got the first 100 feet of a test section in Belmar. That was probably around, I don't know, 2000 or something like that, 1998 maybe. And then we had this fight with the governor after post-Sandy. It was pretty interesting, yeah. But, you know, New York City put in three blocks, the first ever on a vehicular boardwalk in the country, three blocks of structural recycled plastic lumber in 2014. And, you know, you can walk on it today and it looks like the day it was put in. And my guess is that New York City, for the rest of the, you know, boardwalk, Riegelman boardwalk, will not ever need to use anything else. Finally, though, it took like 15, almost 20 years for them to get with that program. But I think all these New Jersey boardwalks need to as well. I mean, we fought Ventnor. They use certified, but then, unbeknownst to us, just a few years later, they replaced the entire boardwalk again with Kumaru, you know, coming out of the Amazon. So this is just like, I'm like one person with Rainforest Relief, and then I had to shift into something else. But if you're interested, believe me, I will talk for hours with anyone who's interested in taking on some campaigning with these.
Well, how do they contact you?
I would like to suggest that folks catch an old movie. It was Sonia Braga, Raul Julia on Chico Menendez.
Menendez.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Caught that movie in number, oh, it's good 15, 20 years,
yeah,
maybe longer.
Yeah.
But you need to see that because I've been to Brazil, and I don't know. We just seem to lose total focus because corporate America is so busy raping us that we're too stupid to even wake up.
Mm-hmm. And placating us as well.
No, rape. There's a very big difference between placating and rape.
Oh, I know, but they're doing both.
Yeah, and what I'd like to say is this much. We all have to do our little parts here. I live in Flemington now, and many years ago, I had heard that if you put two layers of shears up, it's as good as one heavy drape. We don't seem to understand how much gas we're burning off in this country and creating a big, ugly mess.
Sure.
Yeah. If you put some serious drapes up, not only are you going to protect yourself against the cold coming in those windows and on the sides of the windows, but you're also going to keep out the cold and keep out a lot of the profiteering that's going on. Here in Western, in Hunterdon County, they're trying to run this pipeline down from eastern Pennsylvania, down through Stockton and across Lambertville, over the water company, mind you, to get natural gas to Hopewell, where they're going to try to rebuild that, you know, build that up in much more than it already is. Let me tell you something. I live in a natural gas heated, cooled, and hot water apartment. And as far as I'm concerned, the town of Flemington is red over top. It is so, the waste, there is no insulation, there is no, modification. Let's get after this current governor and say, look, we want bigger, ecologically sensible programs going on in this country where we don't waste so much of our natural resources, so they're there for the seventh generation. And secondly, we don't have to breathe this rubbish because this is a big source of cancer.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, you guys, you know, put up your drapes and cook your beans in your crock pot on the wall that your bedroom is on. My moron superintendent put in a stove that I, as a professional chef, am not amused with, with its electronic ignition. And when we're going to have these storms, like we had the last couple of years in the wintertime, I take, glass dishes and bake things in the oven just on the chance that the power will go out and I won't be able to start my oven.
Mm.
So, we've got to look at this in a totally different way. Let's get our crock pots going on these cold nights for humidity as well as cooking our food. Let's just start screwing them where they breathe because these people are nuts.
Well, thank you very much for your call.
Okay, have a great evening. I really appreciate you being there. Bless you. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
212-209-2877. And Matt just brought me a movie, A Fierce Green Fire, which I remember seeing a while ago. And I at one point, when we were at 120 Wall Street, we just got a ton of movies, and some of them were bizarre, and some of them weren't, and I don't remember one from the next.
This was a title of a book, I believe, about extreme environmentalism, and the guy who wrote it was, basically started out saying, like, where is this coming from?
Fierce Green Fire wasn't it, but there was a movie that Pacifica was pushing that was anti-renewable energy. And I'm like, why are you pushing this anymore? Why are you trying to get me, of all people, to pitch this? You know, but anyway, 212-209-2877. You're on the air.
Hi. It's me from New Jersey. How are you?
Okay.
I love your show. It's just ironic that you have this on. Is this the topic about that wood and all that stuff?
Well, right. It's a takeoff of Harrison Ford saying, "Don't forget nature," and Sandra Steingraber connecting.
The wood that you're speaking of, I just want to say that wood that you're speaking of, that these antique, these really good woods, and they're raping the jungles for them and stuff. I work in the seaside here, you know, down in the rich areas of the sea, Jersey Shore.
Sure.
And they're like burning that stuff up, and using that stuff all over the place. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All the decks and everything else.
Yeah, I think
I just think it's ironic that we were talking about that today, and how much devastation is caused by that because of these roads that access these woods But I just think it was funny that I was talking about it, like, you know, because of that, but you just hit it right on the head. But like I said, there's local. There's a lot of this stuff going around. They're burning it up right here, you know what I mean? Under our noses and in our faces, too.
Yeah.
So it's very funny. Right, have a good one.
All right.
God bless you.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in. We love when people call in.
I think the last caller mentioned Point Pleasant and the fire, but I think the fire post Sandy reconstruction was Seaside, if I'm not mistaken. And they had just rebuilt the entire boardwalk because it was flooded, and the entire thing was flooded, and apparently the flooding had affected some electrical conduit or something, and after they rebuilt the whole thing. A fire happened under the boardwalk, and the entire boardwalk again burnt down. But
There was salt water where there didn't used to be salt water, It was corroding things.
Yeah, exactly. But those Seaside had not used tropical hardwoods. I should make that clear. In that case, they had used softwoods. But
does the plastic composite boardwalks more fire resistant?
So
are they?
You know, the true structural recycled plastic lumber that we've promoted since 1990, it burns certainly, but it's interesting because if you drop a burning ember, like really something really hot, like a metal ember on it or something, a cigarette's not going to light it up. But it takes a higher temperature than that. But it will burn pretty much like a candle does. So that burning, metal ember will just melt down into the middle of the thing. There might be some flame as it's doing that, which you would see with wood as well, just about any wood. But it's not going to spread. It has to really get to quite a high temperature in order for that to happen, which, for instance, the stuff in that they tried initially, and I believe it's this, the rebuild pier is still there in Hunts Point, got hit by lightning because, this is a bit of a story, sorry, but the people who put the thing together, they built a gazebo, and they decided to try another material that was steel in the center surrounded by recycled plastic. And from the top of the gazebo all the way down to the riverbed, six big poles, and forgot. There were three engineers on the job, and they literally forgot to put like lightning rods on the top of the thing. So the very first big storm that came through,
and this was eight.
Yeah, the very first storm that came through. People watching from a distance said it was like a magnet. It was like a lightning magnet. But the pier caught on fire, but the outer third of the pier burnt, but it mostly melted, and they were able to reuse some of the big beams and things like that. So even though that was just like not the fault of the material, it still showed itself to be quite.
Well, we have time for one more call, and so. That's you. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. How's it going? Thanks for the show.
You're welcome.
I'm calling from L.A.
Nice.
I'm listening to the sister station out here, KPFK.
Uh-huh.
Just tuned in to you guys because, hey, how if we don't cut down the Amazon for grazing land for cows so we can get cheap hamburgers in and out. How are we going to get cheap hamburgers at McDonald's and stuff?
God, we're laughing,
on.
But it's not funny.
Are you guys navel-gazing? You're just navel-gazing here. Come on. Have you heard of something called the aerosol masking effect?
I've heard the term, but you can
It's sort
it
of like it, all the stuff that we're pumping into the atmosphere now, it goes up there and sort of blocks the sun, all the coal factories and stuff and whatnot. Well, if we stopped all emissions tomorrow and that stuff all came down out of the sky, we'd have a catastrophic temperature rise in a matter of months, if not weeks.
It's interesting that one of the things that scientists argue about when it comes to climate change is whether we've reached the tipping point or not. Is it too late? It seems that the consensus that was reached by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change is that we have not reached the tipping point yet. So the scenario you're giving is the worst case scenario, that the tipping point has already been reached. And there are still people who believe that it has been reached. And
I'm in that camp.
Yeah, and you're in that camp.
Yeah.
But the IPCC, they reached consensus. This was not a voting thing.
Yeah.
All the scientists were in agreement over this in great detail. And one of the things they said in every press conference and several times in the report is we have to do it all. Every single solution has to be done. We can't go, well, we'll do this solution. We don't have to worry about the other solutions. It all has to be done. We have to stop deforesting. We have to eat less meat. We have to use renewable energy. We have to use less methane and nuclear to begin with. We have to do all of those things, not one or two of them. And that's where the specialization that we grow up with is such a bad thing. But anyway, we are out of time. Out FM is going to be in here in a few minutes.
And if we're reaching L.A., I'd like to shout out to Mitch Tannenbaum, my first engineer in radio.
Okay. And so...
And also quickly for the caller, there's a great NOVA program called Dimming the Sun. It's very illustrative of the aerosol effect you're talking
dim
about.
Sun. Okay.
Hi, thank
I'm
you,
Ken
Tim Gale,
WBAI's Tuesday evening environmental show, Ecologic. One of the cool things about being a BAI buddy is that you get to decide what WBAI is worth to you. Are we worth more than your cable TV? Or $10 a month? 20, 100, a million? Just go to the WBAI.org website and sign up with your credit card. You'll barely notice it. In return, you get a WBAI tote bag to show off, free or discounted entry to special WBAI events, and other perks. Another cool thing about being a BAI buddy is less fundraising interruptions to your favorite programs. Go to WBAI.org. You can donate in the name of your favorite show, like Ecologic.
See the sun, how bright it shines on the nations of the earth. All who share this thing called life celebrate each day's rebirth.
So, solar power, inexpensive energy. So,
I'm Sean Rhodes, co-host and engineer of the award-winning Midnight Ravers. It's going to be Bacchanal time on Labor Day, Monday, September 2nd, when WBAI broadcasts all day from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. the Caribbean Carnival, live from Eastern Parkway in Brooklyn. That's when New York City will host what is now the biggest, most spectacular street celebration in the country. so be sure to tune in to WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM, on Monday, September 2nd, from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., live and direct from the Caribbean Carnival on Eastern Parkway, for the music, culture, and bacchanal.